Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, and back with us, Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how we doing, buddy?
Good. Missed you last week, Jimmy. Missed all you guys and gals out there that are fans of the show, but I was kind of driving across the country, but I'm back. So I'm not back at home, but I'm back.
You're back on the East Coast anyway.
I am. I'm back in Eastern Standard Time.
And you gave me the weather forecast where you're at for today. What's the high going to be?
75.
And Andy, me, the listeners, we still hate you for that.
You hate me. I know.
I hate you. But make sure when you hit the golf course, long and straight, my friend.
I've been playing really well. I played really good in California.
You realize that doesn't make me feel any better, Andy, right? You understand that, don't you?
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I'm just saying, you're like, hit the golf course. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait. I'm playing really well.
All right. We'll allow you those good rounds, Andy, until we're able to get out there, too, when the warm weather gets here for real. Anyway, still, it's off season, still stuff going on in college football. Let's start with this, Andy. Who are the two most powerful men in college football?
The SEC commissioner and the Big Ten commissioner. Stop. That's it. And you need a super Walmart to find 3, 4, and 5 parking lot size. You need a giant, giant parking lot to find 3, 4, and 5 because they're sort of out there on their own island and they are setting the tone, the temperature, the tenor. They're setting the conversation, they're driving, you know, the sort of red flags that are coming up. They are it, Jimmy.
That is it exactly. And, you know, if you're going to go beyond those two, my only statement would be go to whoever's heading up ESPN or Fox TV, because they're the power behind the power. They're the power behind the crown. Because they're correct. The ones providing the big money contracts, which is what makes those commissioners so powerful. And that's why the reason why I asked the question, Andy, is both conferences and commissioners made news in the past week. And I wanted to hit you up on them because they're really fascinating stories. Let's start off with the Big Ten. And the Big Ten starts this off by, they send a letter to the NCAA and essentially say, you know what, this investigation into tampering, we ought to just suspend that. Okay. Could there possibly be a worse message than that?
I understand the intent, right? And they're basically saying NIL/free agency. Free means free. Name, you know, image and likeness belongs to the players. It doesn't really belong to us. So whatever your tampering is, it doesn't have any merit. At its core, I think the Big Ten has a valid point. Their messaging is a little tone deaf. How's that, Jimmy? A little read the room a little better, ladies and gentlemen. They literally sound like the bully on top of the pulpit. Don't, if you're up there and you own the crown, you don't have to be a bully, right? You don't have to be tone deaf. Read the room a little bit better. Understand a little bit more about the transition that college football is going through. Just the messaging and the way they presented it was just all wrong, Jimmy. It was all wrong. But the merits of what they're saying, I strongly support the merits.
And Andy, far be it from me to defend the Big Ten, okay?
Right.
That's not, however, understand that this was a letter that they sent. They didn't expect this to go out for public consumption, okay? Now, that's not to say the Big Ten doesn't shoot themselves in the foot.
They have in the past.
Constantly. So, as I always put it, they have no toes left, okay, from shooting their foot so often. But the point is, and that's the headline, you know, I think the quote was suspension of investigation and infraction proceedings. So that's the quote that gets out there to the public. It's what gets clicks, but that wasn't the intent. The intent was, you know what, guys, it ain't working.
It ain't working. And it's not going to work.
Right. The investigation ain't working. If it were, you know, the Dabo Swinney talk about Ole Miss tampering would be a slam dunk case that would be over in about 5 minutes if the investigation arm of the NCAA was effective in any way.
Here's the thing. You're correct. You're 100% accurate, Jimmy. It's not often we kind of agree like this. Like,
never.
The undertones of it feel a little bit uncomfortable to me right now, but here's what I want to say. The reason the Big Ten comes off looking kind of like, that's a bad look, you guys. And they have stepped all over themselves before you. And here's the difference between them and the SEC and sort of where they are now. The SEC has never really cared about anything or anybody else. They literally don't. And they're not ashamed. They're not going to hide it. They're not going to try and be. The Big Ten has always kind of held on to a little bit of the greater good, the rest of college football. What about anybody? And that's sometimes why they become so dumb. It's like, you're a boss, act like a boss. And they weren't sort of acting like a boss. The SEC, Jimmy, come on. I mean, they don't give a hoot, not even a single hoot about anybody else. And they're not ashamed and unabashed about showing it. But here's where the difference is. The Big Ten recognizes its place now, and they're kind of stepping on themselves because they have no idea how to sort of position themselves as a boss. And the SEC's like, hold my beer, we've been doing that for 25 years. So that is part of, they've always kind of looked at the greater good and thought, we're not going to wreck it. Well, you've kind of been one of the two dogs that's wrecked it. It's time to act like it. And I think they don't understand. At times, I don't think they understand what they're saying to their audience. Does that make sense? At times, I think they don't understand that what their audience will perceive them as saying, because they're in a space they're not. It's never been comfortable for them.
It's messaging. They don't do a good job at messaging. And this is one of those stories, Andy, when it gets out that way and makes them look so bad. Where are they? Where is Tony Petitti getting out there and saying, look, here's what the real message is. We have a mess here. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. Let's talk about a solution to the problem. Instead, they allow the story to go, oh, they're asking for, you know, suspension of investigation of tampering. Something that I think most people would agree should be policed. NIL is out of hand. As you mentioned, that's for the players. And anything you do to restrict the player's ability to earn more money is going to end up in court, and the player's going to win. Okay, you can't refuse somebody's opportunity to earn money.
Right.
But what tampering does is you're not the infraction in using the example, the Clemson case, the Clemson player who's ending up at Ole Miss, is you don't punish the player. The player's not the one who's guilty here. It's right. The school. you should be able to control your own people, your own teams, your own programs. Ole Miss should have been an easy investigation.
And I mean, come on. The SEC was asking for this. It almost made you pause and go like, huh? You know, cock your head to the side and go, hold on. You're asking for tampering? And in that vein, it just doesn't fly. Can we investigate your bringing a coach to Ole Miss or to LSU from Ole Miss? That's internal. I get it. But what kind of tampering are you talking about? A one-off case that suits one of your schools? Come on. I mean, it's the communication and the message is a bad look for the Big Ten. To the SEC, it's like, what? Who do you care about? You don't care about anybody else. So it's a bad look for the SEC too, Jimmy. I just want to point that out, that for them to be asking the NCAA to look into tampering, are you kidding me? You? Really? I don't think so.
And you know what, Andy, the other part to this, and I often try to compare what's going on in college sports with the real world. You know, when I talk about players, it's just like, hey, if someone's offering you twice as much money as a salary, you in the, you know, public world having your job, yeah. And you have the right to go take a look at that. But here's the other thing I often say in the corporate world, Andy, is you don't go to your boss and say, oh, here's a problem. No, you go and say, here's the problem. Here's the fix.
Here's the fix. Here's the solution.
Right. Here's how we make it better. Okay. Don't come, you know. What, I've been on both sides of this. You know, when I'm going to the boss, I never just go, oh, you know, this is bad, but here's how we fix it. That's how you go. And if I'm in charge, don't come to me saying there's a problem. Come to me saying, hey, we need your authorization for the fix, but here is the fix. And the Big Ten didn't do that.
No, they failed on that greatly. They just basically said, we don't need this. That's it. That's all they said.
Exactly. All right, Andy, we're not done with this topic.
Oh, no, we're not.
This one's going to be ongoing, I think, for a while. We'll pick it up, though, right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The Collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. This is quarter number two of our show. And Andy, in the first segment, we were talking about the Big Ten and messaging, which they're not very good at. And they sent a letter to the NCAA saying we should put a pause on investigating tampering, which makes them come off looking really, really bad. The more subtle point is they weren't saying, oh, just allow tampering. They're saying, you know what, your investigating arm is awful. It doesn't work. We've got to figure something out here. And I think glaring in its absence was the Big Ten providing a better message, including, hey, here's a better way to do things, Andy. And one of the things that I read, which was kind of a fascinating idea, their issue was the portal window opens up. Literally, Andy, there has to be tampering because the official day starts, 1,000 players enter the portal, And that weekend, they're already making their visits and signing with a new team, which can't be happening unless there's tampering. It can't happen that fast. One of the solutions I read about, and I know you're an NFL guy, so I want to get your take on this. The idea was, how about emulating the NFL with their legal tampering? In other words, hey, you don't have to enter the portal, but we'll give you a week or 2 weeks to go talk, make it legal to talk to other teams, find out what's out there, really, but you can't sign until the legal window opens, but right. You have 2 weeks to look around. And more schools, it would be more fair to more schools because there's that window to talk to players without that pressure of they have to sign right away.
A 10 to 14 day player and name, image, and likeness open window. This eliminates the tampering. Open it for 10 to 14 days. This is your exploration window for players. It's for the players too, right? Like,
I want to interject something there, Andy, because you made sure. A great point. It's for the players.
For the players.
A lot of players. In fact, I read it's like 30 to 40% of the players who go into the portal don't come out. Yeah, they don't get another scholarship, so they get burned. So that's an advantage for the players if they get to talk without burning their scholarship by entering the portal.
Give them a 10 to 14 day open window. That allows them to travel, explore, open up. Now, then you have a legal basis for tampering. That establishes your baseline as a legal basis prior to that. And then the institutions can open up on the transfer portal day window, and that's your window for signing. That's when the two of you can join together and reach an official agreement, right? So there definitely needs to, the solution, I think you hit the nail on the head. I was going to suggest the same thing. They need a legal window for the players. If they're going to have 1,000 in a window, which is what we had this year, right? There was like 1,000 players that went into the transfer portal. If you're going to have 1,000 players in the transfer portal, you got to give them room to move. You just can't. Otherwise, the carnival that it is, it's sort of amateur hour. The way they have it set up, the NCAA has it set up, is very amateur hour stuff. Come on. We're talking millions of dollars here. Let's act like pros, right? Another reason why the Big Ten's message is so relevant and important, I think, it's like, come on, you guys are amateur hours. This is professional. We play with caps and sleeves at this level. Treat these players like they deserve the caps and sleeves that they're earning. And the NCAA is still hanging on to something that is...
And it's still a joke at the SEC once it's brought up. Come on. I mean, pop, calling the kettle black. But yeah, you need an open window. You're 300%. I love that you nailed that, Jimmy.
And I'm not sure that's, you know, a fix-all, okay? It's not necessarily a cure-all for everything, but I think it would be helpful. Now, the devil is always in the details, Andy, and you have a situation. You know you're going to end up with, okay, I need a quarterback. My program needs a quarterback. I go out during the two-week tampering period. I get my quarterback. I get a guy who says, yep, I'm good. I make a verbal commitment. So I got my guy. I stopped looking for quarterbacks. And then when signing day comes, somebody else shows up, offers them, you know, 10% more money, and he goes there. And when the music stops, I don't have a quarterback. You know, kind of comparable to what happened to Duke, where they thought they had confirmed their quarterback, and then in the end, he ended up committing to Miami for the more money. So there are things like that, but I think that can be mitigated, and you are, in the long run, I think you help more players in this way. So by the way, your 1,000 players in the portal is kind of light. There's probably multiple thousands who are in the portal.
Right. But I mean, in the one window that came open this year, it was 1,000 plus players.
But
it, we're at it.
I think, to me, my biggest concern, and we always talk about the players at the high end who make the millions of dollars, I'm more concerned about the at least the hundreds of players who were on scholarship, had a scholarship, entered the portal because somebody was whispering in his ear, and then he ends up high and dry with not only no deal, but also no scholarship. He's now out of school, and he's screwed.
Correct. The transfer portal is not set up for the elite, per se. It benefits the elite, right? The elite players have that opportunity. But for 80% of the teams in the country, it's not the top five players. It's the next 15 players, right? Look, the way the transfer portal and NIL is moving, it's okay. You've got to, there's a competition for your elite, but there's so few of them. And it's the next 15 to 20 players that matter more, because generally speaking, you're going to look at 20, 25, upwards of 30 players on your roster moving annually. Now that's where we're at. So your first five players aren't they're the ones that are going to grab the headlines. They're the splash. They're the stars. They're the flash. They're the five stars, right? But the fours, threes, and twos still matter just as much. So it's more about them than it is the flash, but
all we hear about are the big ones. So that's, it becomes like, well, the transfer portal's for the big guys. Well, actually it's not. So it's just a very, very quagmire-y place that college football is in right now, because it's changing and moving so fast. And it's not changing and moving annually, it's changing and moving quarterly. You could even argue monthly, Jimmy, that like it's moving so fast.
Well, Andy, and what we always end up with is in the courts, okay?
And we're alone.
And typically when we end up there, the court system, two things. They're using the standards of the private industry, say, or the rest of the world, where,
correct,
hey, you can't keep me from moving jobs, taking another job. You know, those are how the thing, and you can't keep me from making more money. And the second thing is, when players take this to court, they always go to a local court system.
Correct.
If you're, you know, at Ole Miss, you go to a Mississippi state court.
Starkville.
Who's most, right, who's going to rule in favor of the local school? That's the way it works. And, you know, we'll talk about this a little more, but Andy, it's why every fiber of my being says less government is better. However, with some of these conversations about getting a, you know, federal intervention, what it would do is possibly create a little bit of more level playing field. I mean, you literally have states saying, oh, we're not going to tax NIL money, so it makes it advantageous for players to sign with our schools, you know, things like that.
Correct.
Every local court is going to rule in their school's favors. Maybe it is time for some federal intervention to get national rules.
Well, we have. So that would mean, back to your original thing at the very beginning of our show today, who are the two most powerful people? It's those two commissioners are going to have to acquiesce to a governing body. Remember, Jimmy, the NCAA not only used to sort of, they wrote the handbook, but they also made the laws. Right? Like they were the lawmaking arm of collegiate sports. They were both, right? They were the oversight, the governance, and the law writers. They were everything. NIL has stripped them of the legal aspect of it, and it has rendered them in an oversight and governance, in an oversight and governance way, it has rendered them neutered and powerless because they lost the ability to be the law writers. So as it continues to stay the wild, wild west that we know that it is, there is only one way that the courts can rule, right? By the rule of standard practice money-making law. And that benefits the players. So it's going to go back to it. Who are the two most powerful men? It's going to take the two most powerful men wanting to create an sort of not an oversight, but an establishing legal precedences with oversight and governance. I mean, the only way to slow this down, Jimmy, is that's it. But those two men aren't going to do it because they got too much money. They're the bosses. They're not going to shortchange themselves.
Well, the problem with the NCAA, it should be the NCAA is made up of their member institutions.
Correct.
So the member institutions should be able to do this, but they are not. And the NCAA has proved themselves not to be competent at this. The power has shifted now to the conference level. And the two conferences with power, we know, Southeast Conference and the Big Ten, and they've got to police their own members and have member buy-in. Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey can't both just declare this is the way it's going to be. Correct. They've got to be serving their members who want it to be that way. All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number two. When we come back, we shift gears, we take your questions, and we ask Andy.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, which means you take over the show. We take your questions for Andy if you want to. Submit a question on our app. There's the Ask Andy button. If you don't have the app, go to our website, Keystone, or tell you what, email me. How about that? info@ksnsports.net. You could email me a question that way also. Let's start with Eddie from New Jersey, Andy, who says, I saw a Penn State over under on number of wins for this season, and it's at 9.5. Is that a good number? Is your first reaction over or under?
My first reaction, Eddie, in New Jersey is under. Then my secondary reaction is, look at that schedule again closely, Andy. Look at it closely. Look who's on it. Look who's not on it. And look at that number again. My initial reaction right out of the gate is 9.5. That means if I'm going to take the over, 10. No. Never. No. But there's layers to it. And that schedule is very opportunistic. That schedule is very opportunistic. And
it really is, Andy. And it's funny. When I saw it too, believe it or not, my first reaction was under, okay? Because, and sure. I think we're going to be, Penn State's going to be favored 9 out of the 12 games, okay? They're going to be an underdog at Michigan. Depending how Washington plays, Penn State's going to be at Washington. I could see them being an underdog there.
I agree.
USC at home, that's another one. You know, if USC is playing really well, I
that's a maybe.
But they're traveling the length of the country, the reverse of Penn State going out to Washington. So
where is each team at, right? Like they could be a potential underdog right now. If you put a line on it right now, they'd be a favorite, probably. A slight, very, very slight one.
But I think when doing these numbers, who is going to bet on a Penn State over under? I think it's more likely going to be a Penn State fan, not necessarily the generic fan.
Right.
So I think if this is one of those, I could have seen it be 8.5, could have seen it be 9.5. At 9.5, boy, you're tempting those Penn State fans with it. All right, let's move on. Hey, I don't know if this fit you or not, Andy, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Scott from Lebanon says, it's March Madness week. Who do you have as your pick to win it? What's your methodology for filling out your bracket? And do you agree that the first week is the best week of the tournament?
The first week is the best week of the tournament. There's no doubt about that. It's just wall to wall. Florida is going to be my pick, but I haven't filled out brackets in the last couple of years. I haven't joined bracket challenges. They were becoming mildly unhealthy as a fan watching versus who I wanted to win the game in my bracket. And I just kind of, it's sort of why I stopped playing fantasy football. I just want to root for my team and my players. I don't want I want my team to win, but I want the dude that I have on the other team that's playing my team to do well in fantasy. No. I just want to absorb the basketball and enjoy it. And the bracket sort of, even though I could be in a $5 pool, it doesn't matter. I want to win every game. That's problematic competitively. So I'm like, I should probably stop this. So, but I will join one of those Sweet 16 ones where they get to that point and then you pick it in, and Florida will be my pick. I know they lost in the SEC final to Vandy, but I like all the elements that Florida has.
I don't think, you know, I'm not sure how much we can get out of those conference tournaments, like Florida. Correct. Losing Michigan, you know, number one seed, also lost in their conference. So
to Purdue, yeah.
Yeah. When you have, I fill out a bracket more for just, it gives me now a rooting interest in every game. Okay. Now, the problem with it is I want to root for the underdogs, especially this first week. Well,
right.
I'm not going to root for the underdog to beat my team that I have going to the Final Four. I have like two picks. I haven't finalized it. I know it's going to be, by the time people hear this, the tournament will be begun. But I'm between Arizona and Houston. Houston is actually in the same bracket as Florida.
Correct.
I like to pick someone other than a number one seed for my winner. And Houston, I think, is the most likely non-number one seed.
Okay.
Arizona is a team that I think we on the East Coast don't see enough of them to realize how good they are, because we don't see them enough. All right, let's move on. Let's see. Where do we go? All right, Chris from New York. After two great years, where is Indiana in the pecking order of best programs in the country? Give me your five best, and is Indiana among them?
So is this our? So we can't ask Chris. So I'm gonna ask you, Jimmy, to quote what I think are the five best right now.
Yes. So it's like you don't put in Minnesota because they won national championships 50 years ago. Okay, actually more than that, 60 some years ago.
Right.
It's like right now. So you base it on what they've done in recent history, what you expect from them in the future. I'll give you the example. Ohio State belongs in there. They get the talent every year. They're recruiting. Yep. Just they have a recent national championship. They have everything in place. To me, they're a no-brainer top five. Okay. Who else do you have in that top five?
I have Ohio State, Georgia, Notre Dame. Indiana. Right now. This So there's like three schools that popped in my head, and I don't know which one to pick.
Give me the three. Give me the three then.
So I have Michigan in there, I have Texas in there, and and Michigan. I have
Wow.
Alabama in there too. I considered Alabama. They were the, if you say the three, it was Alabama, Michigan, Texas. I'm gonna go Michigan's fifth in the, so that's what, three Big Tens. I don't have Oregon in there. I'm not even considering them because they're not winning at the next level. I'm not even considering them, Jimmy. They're not part of the conversation. I'm not a duck hater. I just don't think at the next level they've shown themselves. So even in the last half decade, I'll even go, no.
You know what? I think a couple years ago, this was much easier.
It's so much easier.
Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, and I don't know, maybe Oklahoma, maybe
Maybe.
Michigan.
Right.
Now, I 100% agree, Ohio State and Georgia. I was going to say I needed one more year from Indiana, but then when I considered the other options,
Indiana.
Indiana.
Notre Dame? Notre Dame make your top five?
You claim to not be a duck hater. You are. You're a duck hater.
I am not.
I'm a fighting Irish hater.
I know
Okay.
that. I just want
I
them to show
hate.
me the money. I want the Ducks to show me the money, Jimmy.
Don't you want Texas to show you the money also?
Yeah, that's why I left them out.
Michigan, I know they have
I
one.
know.
But I'm leaving Michigan out of it. I think Alabama deserves it as much as Michigan, if not more, over the last decade.
Okay. That's fair. Your points. I'm not going to argue, Jim. I'm not going to say you're wrong. You're not right, but I'm not going to say you're wrong.
Well, we agree on Ohio State and Georgia. I think we agree on Indiana. After that, I am kind of stuck.
Gets messy, right? It gets messy.
Which, by the way, we spent a good portion of this show talking about what is wrong with college football.
This is
What
what's right.
exactly? The
Yes,
fact
sir.
that it's not so locked in, like just a few years ago, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, there were your top four.
Stopgap.
Simple, simple.
That's it.
Now, don't
It's
know.
yeah, the murky mess after those three that we're talking about right now is sort of the beauty of college football, right? Miami played for the national championship last year and barely almost didn't get in the tournament. And they played for it.
And you know what? I'm wondering if it's so funny here, Andy. We've been doing the show together too long. It's like there's a mind meld going on. Right before you said Miami's name, they popped up in my head. And it makes me wonder, a year from now, might we have Miami in this top five?
Yeah, if they can validate, but are they a one-hit wonder? You get to ask the one-hit wonder because there's a lot of formulas being put out there for a one-hit wonder. Is Indiana one a one-hit wonder? Well, they won and went from a dog with fleas to somebody in really short order, and then they followed it up by winning. That's not a one-hit wonder.
And it's also why, I'm wondering about Notre Dame, who didn't make the playoffs this year.
They got
Are
hosed. Let's just call it what it is. That was a screw job.
they should have been in instead of Miami or instead of Alabama. Is that your thought?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you weren't saying
It's not
ahead of
Miami.
Miami.
No,
And
sir. No,
that's
sir.
who most people compared them to,
Yeah,
but
wrong comparison.
getting back to though the point, Andy, is there are things that are still really good about college football and even better than they were just a few years ago. This is one of them. You were right. Miami could win it. And this coming year, who's the favorite to win this coming year, Andy?
Ohio State and Georgia, you start with, right? But you could have a USC do what Miami did. You could have an Oklahoma do what Miami did last year. They're capable. There's potential there.
Go look at the over under for number of wins for Ohio State. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number three. We got one more segment to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Andy. This is quarter number four of our show. And let me give some credit here to Chris from New York. He got
absolutely
us off.
I was
going to
do the same thing.
Tangent. Chris, you got a question. We only got through three questions, mind you, but still, Chris, you asked the right question. And Andy, when we finished up Chris's question, I asked you, who's your favorite to win the national championship next year? You said, well, you got to start with Ohio State and Georgia. Understand. Correct. I understand.
Right. Start
but
there.
I threw out there, what do you think is the over-under for Ohio State wins next year? Do you know what the number is?
I do not.
Do you care to guess?
10.5? 11?
No. It is the same as Penn State, 9.5.
Okay, so my initial reaction is, can I borrow $5, Jimmy? I'm going to bet the over. However, you have to do just like you did with Penn State's schedule. You have to peel it back and say, why is Penn State's number 9.5? That doesn't seem right, does it, Jimmy? It just doesn't.
It's wrong. It's got to be wrong.
It's not the right number. Well, Vegas doesn't screw this up. And then you're like, what? 9.5 for Ohio State? Come on. And then you look at it and you're like, oh, well, look at what the Buckeyes have. A full-blooded killer of a schedule.
Can I share with you their schedule?
Absolutely. Please.
They're on the road at Texas, Iowa, and Indiana.
On the road.
On the road, and have home games against Oregon and Michigan.
That's 5. So in order for it to be 9.5, which is 10, they have to win 3 of those. So Vegas is saying, we want you to bet that they'll win 3 of them, not lose 3 of them. They're not 60-40 games either, Jimmy. They're not. They're 55-45 games at best, 50-50 on a good day. What other team? So you remember, was it not last year, but the year before when Oklahoma had that murderous schedule, and we were like, look at poor Oklahoma's schedule. You're not going to say look at poor Ohio State's schedule, because there's nothing poor about Ohio State. But when you look at their schedule, you're like, that is as much meat on a bone as you're going to find in any conference in the country. In other words, I'm going to say, show me a better one. Show me a better schedule where you've got 5 games at that level. Show me.
Couple thoughts on this, Andy. First of all, well, at Iowa, I understand Iowa could be tough at their home stadium, especially if it's a night game and all that. I think Ohio State wins that game. But Texas, at Texas and at Indiana, and then home to Oregon and Michigan, those are 4 losable games, okay, for anybody in the country. So if you look at that, well, let me ask you this question. Let's swap schedules, Ohio State and Penn State. If Penn State played this schedule, what would their over-under be?
7.5.
Agreed.
7.5. Maybe that might even be, maybe you just put it at 7, right? Well, why wouldn't you put it at the half, right? So 7.5. Ohio State's, if they had Penn State's schedule, Jimmy,
11.5.
Yeah, I'm going 11.5. I'm going to do it. I'm like, come on. Because the gap talent-wise that they have, despite all the turnover and change, it still exists. That's the one thing that Ohio State sort of, the one thing about Ohio State that, you know, you as an Ohio State hater and those that don't care for them drives them back crazy. In this time of change, their one constant has been they out-roster you. They haven't lost that roster edge that made them such a hammer during this transition time. They've found ways to navigate that. And then when the ball goes up in the air and the whistle's blowing and there's a kickoff that happens, guess what? They out-roster you still.
I'm also going to say a year ago, Alabama does not belong in the playoffs with three losses. Okay. They don't.
No, not to last me, year.
That was the over under. You lose a third game.
You're done.
You're done. This Ohio State team with this schedule, if they go 9-3, do they belong in the playoffs?
Depends on who you're comparing them against. Right.
I know, Andy, there you are with the details. And you're right. But just
are they 9-3? And yes, they're gonna get a wild card bid. They would earn it because their conference and their schedule warrant an exception. That's my thing about Alabama that bugs me more than anything else about last year over Notre Dame. Look, Notre Dame didn't have a pedestal to stand on in the conversation of Notre Dame versus Miami. They lost the football game head-to-head, stopgap. But when you compared it to the conference schedule, 2 versus 3, 2 wins. Because the SEC is not pushing this conference scheduling envelope. They will be in this year, but they weren't last year. They got the common courtesy of the SEC reach around. They gave it to them, which was the wrong move. And it infuriates me because they didn't deserve it. They did not earn it. Okay, they played for a conference championship, and your last look at them was them getting gobsmacked, just cuffed around like a rag doll. Oh, that's good enough for me still.
You know,
I don't.
Andy, I agree totally with what you're saying. And again, I'm still fascinated with this whole, you know, ranking the top five. I'm going to ask you, well, first of all, your five was Ohio State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Indiana, and Michigan, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And my way of asking you about where Penn State falls in this is I'm going to ask you to expand your top five to a top 10. And okay. I want to just know if Penn State falls in there or not. So give me here your top five again. Ohio State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Indiana, and Michigan. Go to me with your second five now.
Right. So I'm going to put Alabama in. I'm going to put Texas in. And I'm going to put Oregon in. That gets you to 8.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to drop Miami in there at number 9 right now. It took longer than it should have, but there's a corner that's been turned, and there's a fervor that could prove to be more than a one-hit number. They're the most dangerous team I'm going to hang my hat on. And 10 is like, so 10 comes back to a little bit of recent success. Maybe it's a little bit more now. Is it, you know, I'm going to hang on some others. Is it like USC? Is it Penn State? Is it Oklahoma? Right? Like, is it some of those blue bloods? Can Matt win 10 games and get this team in the college football playoffs? Jimmy, their one season, albeit a season where they fired the coach and it was a train wreck, they're one season removed from being on the precipice of playing for the college football national championship. But the fall was so far and so long that what's the climb up look like? they're close. They're really close for me, but I think they hired the right guy, but I don't know about the climb. 34 Iowa, you know, 30 some transfers and a little bit of Iowa State East here and there. Is that going to fly? I need to see it. But you know what? If I was to say 10 Clemson, I know they've fallen and I see it, but I don't know. You know who I would put at 10 if you put me in a corner, Jimmy, and you're putting me in a corner? USC. I'm just going to put USC there. I'm going to put USC there.
Well, I think Penn State's recent success, you know, I know what happened last year, would probably keep me with them ahead of USC, but not necessarily the top 10. I think Clemson's an interesting call because of their history.
Correct.
Let me give you a couple other names that I think I would put in ahead of USC and perhaps ahead of Penn State also. How about Texas A&M? How about LSU? How good about one. Ole Miss?
LSU's in transition. Ole Miss, are they what? See, there's transition. There's not transition at Texas A&M. I feel Texas A&M season last year was their one-hit wonder. They made the playoffs. They finally got over the hump, right? They were relevant. Can Mike keep them there, right? Like,
he's got the assets. Can he put the football product together? They're a good one as well. They're a very good one as well, Jimmy.
Yeah, and that the other part to this conversation, Andy, I think has to be, I hate myself for saying this, is
I knew it. You hesitated.
Have the teams indicated their ability to raise money? Okay, Texas Tech has established that they can raise money. We know LSU is capable of that. We know Texas A&M is capable of that. Yeah. Miami, I think part of the equation for Miami, part of the argument for them is that. Okay, so I think you got to add that variable to, like, LSU has indicated they will spend money on their franchise. They will spend money on the coach coming in. I think that has to be a consideration in ranking programs now.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Jimmy. I didn't even think about it as a variable when you're asking me this. And you say you hate yourself for it, but don't, because I don't think we have enough body of information at this high, high level fundraising to sort of say, does it need to be a factor? But you're 300% right. And like, we got to talk about it. You got to say, is it part of it? Because I was totally disregarding it when we were,
as we've been going through this, I completely disregarded that as a factor, but I'm like, you know what? That might need to be a factor. I didn't even consider it.
And I think the other example, Indiana is not just this incredible coach. Indiana is investing the money also. All right, Andy. Right. Thank you. Thank Chris from New York for the question. Thank all of you for joining us. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.